Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said when praying, don't give God instructions, just report for duty. We appreciate this opportunity of being with you today. We're glad to be able to study from the Bible, and we're glad that you're listening. We want to return to our study concerning the dangers that you and I face as a part of the kingdom that the Lord said He was going to build. The Lord said there would be a kingdom that could never be destroyed. That kingdom came in existence in the second chapter of the book of Acts. As you read of the establishment of the kingdom and men and women being added to it, and it's referred to as the church. Now, the reason for the use of those different terminologies, when you're referring to the church, you're talking about a called out body of people. That's people who've been called out of the world of sin to a higher calling in life. But when you use the term kingdom, you're talking about a king and subjects who are a part of that kingdom. And so the Bible uses both of those terms referring to the same body of people. Now, there are dangers facing that kingdom, and we've been talking about that. Our enemy is Satan. Satan's doing everything that he can to bring about our destruction. We need to be aware of the fact that he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Furthermore, be aware of the fact that he has servants. On one occasion in John 8 and verse 44, Jesus said to some people, "You're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Well, it doesn't tell us concerning the various things that Satan does, but it does give us warnings. Well, when we read Paul's statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul says, "We're not ignorant of his devices." We know what Satan's trying to do. Well, one of his main attempts is to undermine people's confidence in the Bible. The Bible is not just a great book. There have been a number of great books that have been written by men and women in the history of the world. And some of those books have endured for a long time. Yet the Bible is a book which is over 2,000 years old in its completion, and it still is a highly respected book and among the world's bestsellers every year. Why is that so? Well, first of all, it came from God. A lot of people don't recognize that, however. I hear sometimes people saying, "Well, yes, there's great things in the Bible. It's just like Shakespeare said some good things, and there are other writers who said some good things." The difference is, my friends, Shakespeare was not inspired of God. What he said was from his own knowledge and his own wisdom. What is recorded in the Bible is not from a man's own knowledge or own wisdom, but rather by God telling him the things that he writes. That's the reason the Bible says the scriptures are not of private interpretation. Now, he's not talking about you and I interpreting the Bible. What he's talking about is the giving of the Bible. And he says those men who wrote the Bible didn't do it of their own private interpretation. It's not a book that is a product of a group of men. Frequently, I hear specials on television that deal with some of the things that are recorded in the Bible, and they indicate, as they go through these things, well, some men wrote these things down, but they could be wrong, and there could be some mistakes. And like one major magazine did a few years ago, they tried to point out that the book is full of contradictions. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not four parallel accounts of the life of Christ. They're rather, according to their view, four contradictory accounts. and there are things that contradict each other as they have written down what they believed along this line. Well, that might happen if you're talking about just four men writing what they think. But if you're talking about four men being guided by the Holy Spirit in what they write, that puts it in a different picture. It is my affirmation that the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, written by four different people, were really, in actuality, written by one man, and that is God. And so what they wrote does not contradict. Just because somebody has some issue that he feels is difficult to understand in regard to the writings of the Gospels, as we commonly call them, doesn't mean that they're not inspired and that they are not in harmony. It just means that fellow needs to get back to his Bible and study it more and find out really what the meaning is along those lines. Well, I'm suggesting that the Bible is God's Word and that it came by inspiration, and we cannot reject the things that are recorded in the Word of God without doing the bidding of Satan. One of the ways that Satan would turn us away from faithfully serving God is undermining our confidence in the Bible. Notice Romans 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You could say it just this way. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. Now, what if we get the idea that the word that we're listening to is not true? Well, that tampers with our faith, doesn't it? Do you think that Satan is not aware of the fact that the things that he's doing along this line are simply undermining people's confidence in the Bible? We hear frequently preachers saying, "Oh, I know what the Bible says, but here's what we believe about this particular matter." Really, what they've done, they've just dismissed the Word of God for what we believe about this matter, and they have substituted that and said it's equal to what the Bible says along this line. Notice the number of things that are approved today on the basis not of what does the Bible say, but on the basis of, well, this is what we've decided. This is what we like. And so as a result of that, they have just simply turned away from what God has recorded in His Word. My friends, I hope that as we study, we'll understand that the Bible is a book that cannot be neglected. It cannot be rejected. It cannot be broken. In John 10 and verse 35, Jesus talked with some people of his day and reminded them that Scripture cannot be broken. You can't nullify the effect of the Word of God. Now, many people are trying to do that. We look about us today and we see the feminist movement trying to undermine what the Bible says. Women preachers trying to justify their being in the pulpit when there's no Bible justification for it. The Bible very plainly tells the woman that she is to learn in subjection. She is to be in silence. It's not the idea of her publicly preaching. That's contrary to what the Bible teaches. But they say, well, the Bible said that, but it was only because of a cultural thing, and it doesn't really mean anything today. Women have every right that a man does in regard to these matters. Well, no wonder some people have rejected the Bible on other things. They're being taught by women preachers. Don't pay any attention to what the Word of God says about that matter. No woman preacher can offer authority for her being in the pulpit. Well, we're going to have to close at this point. Please be with us tomorrow. And remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.